Philadelphia, but I know it from before then.
Those are things that have bad skills.
Welcome, everybody. I'm really happy to see everybody. As I mentioned in my earliest year, please have in mind Baruch Ana Basaratza for Refuah Shleimah, my mother-in-law. Sugyav Chanukah begins with Kovsa Zokakla, Kovsa Ein Zokakla. That's what we're going to focus our attention on today. And this is on Daf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph on the bottom. And the issue in a simple form would be whether or not the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the Maisad Loka or it's Ner Dolk, you know, to keep the Ner going for a certain period of time. And the Nafkamina is going to be, if it goes out, am I obligated to rekindle it? I think we'll be a little bit smarter after we finish because there's certain approaches to refine it and define it in other ways. It's not all that simple. Now, just recently, I came across, I don't have the actual physical sefer, but on HebrewBooks.org, there's a Kovetz Mefarshim on the Sukkis of Chanukah. I didn't know such a thing existed. I have no clue how to get access to it, but in HebrewBooks.org, they allow you to print everything out. So I'm hoping to ask the secretary if she can print out the whole sefer for us, about 300 pages.
No, it's actually 658.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So the reason I said 300 is because I was thinking of double-sided. Yeah, so double-sided will be 300 pages. Maybe we could even bound, you know, have it bound, so we'll have one copy, and that'll be good. When I saw this sefer online, I was just amazed at how many different mefarshim have written on this sugya. It's like a who's list, and it's endless. And what they did in a very smart way at the beginning of the sefer, the first couple of pages, they give you a little historical backup for each one of the mefarshim. You know, what his name was, where he lived, when it was published. So since this is all very new to me, I am interested in learning some of these mefarshim. And in a certain sense, that at least, again, I don't know what's going to be down the line, but at least as we start, it's going to be a little different than those who've been with me in the past of what I usually like to do in this shiur. So it's going to be like trial and error in the sense that we're going to look at certain mefarshim. Every day maybe we'll pick one or two mefarshim and see what they have to say on the sugya. It'll be very textual oriented. So I photocopied for you for today two mefarshim. One is the Pnei Yoshua, that's a pretty classic. And the other is the Beis Halev. Now somewhere in the middle, we're going to fit in the Ramban, even though the Ramban is one of the Rishonim, one of the greatest of the Rishonim. He doesn't have that much on this sugya, but he has an introduction of one paragraph that I want to get to, but I think we'll start with the Pnei Yoshua. So the Gemara tells us that according to Rav Huna, the same Shmonim and Psilos that are possible for Ner Shabbos are also possible for Ner Chanukah. So we're going to try to figure out what that means. This is a statement of Rav Huna, and Rava amplifies Rav Huna. And Rava says the following. That Rav Huna is telling us two chidushim. One chidush has to do with Ner Chanukah, the other has to do with Ner Shabbos. Why did Rava come up with a double chiddush in explaining Rav Huna? Because Rav Huna said two things. He said that those disqualified shmonim for Shabbos are disqualified for Chanukah both during the week of Chanukah, that's Chol, and also Shabbos of Chanukah. And Rav understood that Rav Huna could be broken down into two separate halachas. He's telling me one halach about Ner Chanukah, and that's why he tells you that these shmonim are disqualified during the course of Chanukah, during the weekdays of Chanukah. And Rav says that Rav Huna is telling me another chiddush, and that's a chiddush in Shabbos, as far as Shabbos is concerned. So imagine it's Leil Shabbos of Chanukah, and he's lighting one candle, not necessarily in this sequence, but he's lighting one candle as a Ner Shabbos, and another candle is a Ner Chanukah. The Gemara says later on, we're not ready for that yet, that it has to be two separate Neros. You cannot kill two birds with one stone. And the Gemara is talking about a case where he's financially strapped and he can't afford two candles, so he's got to get two candles. But he can't afford two candles, he's got to make a decision, and that's what the Gemara vacillates about, which candle he should be lighting, whether it's a Ner Shabbos or a Ner Chanukah. So now it's Leil Shabbos of Chanukah. Let's assume, for argument's sake, again, don't quote me on this, that he started with Ner Shabbos, just to get Ner Shabbos out of the way. So he fulfilled his mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. Now he's ready for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So Rav Huna tells us that he's got to use the superior quality Shmonim in order to fulfill his mitzvah of Chanukah. But on Shabbos, Rav Huna adds another chiddush, that he's got to use these superior oil and these superior wicks. And Rava wants to know, why is it that Rav Huna added this separate clause and addressed Ner Chanukah on Shabbos as a separate category? I mean, once he told us that this whole group of Shmonim that are possible for Shabbos are likewise possible for Chanukah during the week, there was no need for him to go ahead and tell me another Chiddush that on Shabbos he can't use these inferior quality Shmonim for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because during the week I can't use it for Ner Chanukah. If I can't use it for Ner Chanukah, there's no Havamina that I should be able to use it for Chanukah of Shabbos or Shabbos of Chanukah. So why did Rav Huna add this extra phrase? So let's read Rav Huna inside. There's three lines before the end of the Amud on Chaf Aleph. He says, "Amar Rav Huna psilos shmonim sha'amru chachamim ein madlikim ebe Shabbos ein madlikim ebe Chanukah bein b'Shabbos bein b'chol." Now those two words, bein b'Shabbos, are totally superfluous. He could have said b'chol. And once I know that during the balance of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc., of Chanukah, he cannot use these shmonim, then in Mela I know, if so facto, he can't use those shmonim on Leil Shabbos. So why did he have to say Bein B'Shabbos? Comes along Rava, and he says that Rav Huna is telling me another Chiddush over here, and that's a Chiddush in Hilchas Shabbos. Let's understand the Chiddush in Hilchas Shabbos. Right, Shabbos is made up of basically two categories of prohibitions. I'm not talking about the positive kiyumim of Shabbos. Number one, you have the melachos. Those are doraisa, 39 in total. And then you have what's called shvusim. The Torah says tishvos. The Rambam dedicates a number of chapters in Hilchas Shabbos to shvusim. He starts with Perikof Aleph. So up till Perikof Aleph, he has 20 prokim on the Doraisa Isurim of the Lamentes Malachas. From Perikof Aleph and on, he starts with the following. This is his introduction. The Rambam writes, Nemar Batorah Tishbos, V'harbi Dvarim Osru Chachamim Mishum Shvus. In other words, the Torah gave us a general directive of Tishbos. And what the Torah is telling me is that the Chachamim have to define and carve out those Shvusim. So one of the various Shvusim that we have on Shabbos is dafka with regard to the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. There's a special shvus that applies to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. It's like a subcategory, a sif katan of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, and that's the shvus of the shmonim and psilos that are inferior in quality, and therefore there's a chashash of shemayata. Shemayata brings us back to the Doraisa of Meleches Mavir, that he might be tempted, even without thinking, to tilt the receptacle, the Ner, in such a way that the oil feed the fire, because these are inferior oils and they start flickering and they start going out. So he might be tempted to change and tilt the oil in such a way that the flame is fed. And that introduces a shemayata chashash, that he might be mates haner, which is meleches havara, and the chacham say, therefore you're not allowed to use the shmon. Comes along Rava, in explaining Rav Huna, he says, Rav Huna wants to tell me that lo mi boy, if you use these inferior quality oils during the week of Chanukah, lo mi boy, that you're not yotzei the mitzvah. We'll see why in a minute. But not only that, if you use these inferior oils on Friday night of Chanukah, then in addition to the Chanukah problem, where you forfeit the mitzvah of Chanukah, you also at the same time violate the Isur Shvus of Shemayata, because since these these oils are inferior in quality, you might come to inadvertently be mata the ner. So then Rava asks the following question. Well, obviously, if you can't use these inferior quality shmonim for ner Shabbos because of the shmos of Shema Yateh, the same thing should apply to ner Chanukah. What was the hava mina? Maisal kedaitach, asks Rava. Why do I need Rav Huna, according to Rava, to tell me an additional chiddush that the gzeira and the shmos of Shema Yateh that generates an iser in using for ner Shabbos inferior shmonim would likewise apply to the ner Chanukah? Why would I think the ner Chanukah is outside the purview of the shmos of Shema Yateh? So Rav introduces also l'shtamish li'ora, that ner Chanukah is different than any other ner. Any other ner is a we'll call it a secular ner, and you're allowed to use it for your own personal benefits. And in doing so, you come very close to the ner. And if on Shabbos you're reading your newspaper, I don't know if on Shabbos that's the thing to do, but let's say you're reading a sefer on Shabbos, so we'll make it holier. You might come inadvertently, without even thinking, to tilt the ner. But in the case of Chanukah, if I assume also l'shtamish li'ora, then there's no chashash of Shema Yateh, because he keeps his distance from the ner. He's not using it for his own purposes. He's not allowed to use it for his own purposes. It's designated as an ner mitzvah to the exclusion of tzarko. Comes along Rav Huna, therefore, the way Rav interprets it, to tell you a bezunder chiddush, that not only do you forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah during Chol with these inferior quality shmonim, but likewise on Shabbos you're going to violate the Issa Shvus. You might think, well, there's no Issa Shvus here because also l'shtamish li'ora. No, there's an Issa Shvus. So Rav says, why is there an Issa Shvus? So Rava says, if you take a look, because my time with the Rav Huna, Kasavar Kavsa Zakah, it's the last line on the page. We'll get back to that in just a little. And number two, this is the part I want to emphasize, now, Umutal Ishtamish Liora. So it's very fascinating. It comes out that according to Rava's analysis of Rav Huna, the status of Ner Chanukah is identical to that of Ner Shabbos, with one minor difference, but that minor difference is not relevant to us. That minor difference is that whereas in Ner Shabbos, the whole purpose of lighting the Ner Shabbos is for the sake of what? Litzar Kolana also. In the case of Ner Chanukah, I wouldn't say that the purpose of lighting a Ner Chanukah is for Lahanoso. Certainly not. It's for the purpose of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But what I would say is that there's a tremendous similarity, a lower common denominator that applies both to Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, and that is Mutal Ishtamish Liora. So again, in the case of Shabbos, I would say almost Chayav Ishtamish Liora. Now, I don't know what that means, but what it means is that the purpose of Adlok is for your benefit. In the case of Ner Chanukah, although the purpose is not for your benefit, it's for the sake of the mitzvah of Chanukah, but you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah. Once you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, that's how Rav interprets Rav Huna, I now have a chashash of Shema, of Shema Yateh. Now, once I have a chashash of Shema Yateh, then I have a new problem here. Not only the problem of forfeiting the mitzvah of Chanukah, which we're going to see is based on Kofsa Zakuk law, but in addition, a violation of the Shvus of Shabbos of Shema Yateh, because Mutal Ishtamish Li'or. So in the ultimate, as we say, the Unta Shashura here, the bottom line comes out that Rav Huna is telling us a chiddush in Shabbos about Shema Yateh based on an insight into the nature of Ner Chanukah. So meaning Rav Huna had a chakira in front of him on a table, Mutal Ishtamish B'Ner Chanukah or Asul Ishtamish B'Ner Chanukah. You and I would have said intuitively Asul Ishtamish B'Ner Chanukah, because that's what we recite in Aneris Halalu. Aneris Halalu is based on a Braisa Masechta Sofrim. That's a pretty early source. But in the Sugyas Hashas and the Bavli, the Masechta Sofrim is now unknown to us, and this is a real issue. And it's a very serious issue on the table, whether Mutal Ishtamish Li'ora Shel Ner Chanukah or also Ishtamish Li'ora Chanukah. We're going to have to analyze what the Yesod HaMachlokas is. If I would have held that Mutal, that also Ishtamish Li'ora, that would have taken Ner Chanukah out of the purview of Shema Yateh and the Shvus of these that applies to these inferior quality oils. But now that Rav Huna holds, and this is a chiddush to us, that Mutal Ishtamish Li'or Shel Ner Chanukah, then from that perspective, Ner Chanukah becomes equivalent to what? to Ner Shabbos in generating the Shavus of Sheva Yatra. And that's what we have. Okay. But let's get back to Chol. What about the weekday Chanukah lighting? So now we have a different issue. These oils are an inferior quality. So that when he lights the oil, there's a very good chance that within a short period of time the candle is going to be extinguished. What happens then? So that's another hakir that we put on the table. What is the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? Is it the Maisa Adloka that he did, even if 5 minutes later it goes out? Or is it the Ner Dolk, meaning I need a period of time, right? The Gemara is going to identify that as Misha Tishka Achama Ad Shetichla Regel Meleshuk, that during that period of time, the Ner is Dolk. No, if the Ner is Dolk, then Kovsa Zochakla, which means I have to rekindle the Ner. Comes along Rav Huna, and he says the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Ner Dolk. Don't you dare use candles which will go out. Again, I don't say for sure it's going to go out, but at least there's a very serious suspicion and a possibility that they'll be extinguished within a short amount of time. These are inferior quality wicks and oils. And that's not what's valid, what's appropriate for Ner Chanukah. We're going to invalidate these Neros for Ner Chanukah. Okay. Now the Pnei Yoshua is going to introduce a new element into the equation, but it's going to really, I think, shed a whole new light on what's going on in this whole sugya. Because even before I saw the Pnei Yoshua, I was uncomfortable with this sugya. And I'll tell you what bothered my mind, and we'll see if I can induce any empathy here in the audience. What bothers my mind is the fact. It's one thing to tell me avoid using inferior quality oils. Why? Because kofsa zakukla. That's one thing. Avoid, I would add the word lechatchila. You know, if all things are equal, then why should you choose? You know, let's say you have two qualities, two categories of oil, and one is superior. It's long lasting. The candle's not going to flicker and go out. The other is inferior. It's not going to last very long. So why choose the latter when you can choose the former? Ah, but if I say it's only a din l'chatchila, what would be the next step? If let's say you were writing the Shulchan Aruch, what would you write? However, if what?
You don't have it.
You don't have anything else. All you have, you know, all you can get available, all you have access to is an inferior quality oil. So at least chutch like that. The Gemara seems to assume, this is before I saw the Pnei Yoshua, which I saw today, that it's either gar or garnished. It's either kosher or pasul. Now, you have to come to grips with the following question. There's no gray area in the middle. Either you're going to tell me that these oils, which are pasul in Er Shabbos, are also likewise pasul of Chanukah. Don't even dream about lighting them because you forfeit the mitzvah of Chanukah. Or they're kosher. And, you know, you would say that that depends upon whether kofsa zakukla or ain't zakukla, because if kofsa zakukla means the mitzvah is ner doluk, I don't want to use these inferior quality oils, they're not going to last very long. If kofsa ain't zakukla, what do I get? It's just a mice and mitzvah of hadlaka. Again, we're going to have to discuss on the separate category, we're going to have to talk about ner shebamigdash. You know, what's the deal with ner shebamigdash? Is it mice hadlaka, is it ner doluk? But as far as Ner Chanukah is concerned, if you're telling me Kofsa Zakukla, it means I have to guarantee that this Ner will be lit for a full half hour. Okay. A half full hour. No, full half hour. Okay. So what happens now in a case where all I have is this inferior quality oil? It's probably not going to last for a half hour. So the Chazal said it's possible. That's what seems to be, again, in the pre-Pnei Yoshua era, the interpretation of Huna. Rav Huna says that to the same extent that these Shmonim are possible for Shabbos, they're possible for Chanukah. Because Chazal are not going to go into questions about L'chatfila or B'diyefet. No, they're going to say like this, you know what, the mitzvah is defined as Ner Doluk, Kavsa Zakakla, these Shmonim are completely excluded. So it bothered me a little bit, because you're downgrading the significance of the Maisad Loka to the point where the Maisad Loka per se is meaningless. You cannot salvage the mitzvah with a Maisad Loka. I would have said intuitively, if not for the Gemara, and here's where the Pnei Yeshua is going to help me a lot, but if not for the Gemara, I would have said the following. You have two options. You're obligated to choose Ner Doluk, and therefore get rid of these Shmonim. Put them on the side. But if you don't have two options, and your only option is a Maisad Loka, because all you have access to is oil that will last for 5 minutes, then Chach at least achieve the Kiyum of Maisad Loka. Meaning, why does it have to be an either-or situation? It's all black or white. You know, we all like to think in black or white terms, but there's also the gray area. Halacha is always full of l'chatchila b'dievitz. You know, halacha always considers the possibility that there's a fallback. If you can't do it the perfect way, ideal, then do it in it. Yeah, the only exception to that rule, we said, was Rashi in Lulav HaYavesh. You remember that Rashi says that, you know, if it's Yavesh, it's not Zekei L'Yaveyu, and you're not Yotzi the Mitzvah of Lulav, if you're lacking Zekei L'Yaveyu. You know, that's Rashi's black or white. You know, it's but Rashi goes very far, Tosis jumps on him, for those who might remember that. And it seems from the simple approach to the Gemara that if the mitzvah is ner doluk, which cannot be fulfilled with these inferior quality oils, forget it, buddy. The Rabbanan said that these shmonim are possible. And the reason for that is because you won't achieve a ner doluk, or you might not achieve a ner doluk. Berzon is yelling and screaming, B'chaj, give him credit, give him some brownie points for what? For Maisad Loka? Nay. And this, by the way, again, I don't want to get into it now because we've discussed this in the past, for those who are with me in El, that it might mean that the Chachamim want to see at least the potential for the optimum ideal mitzvah. Okay, we spoke about, if you remember, Lulav has to be an extra tefach for the purpose of Manuim. Three tefachim is not enough. And therefore, if you have a Lulav of three tefachim, it's puzzled. Why? Because you can't do Manuim. Okay, but you can be Yotzi without Manuim. But we need an object, a cheftish of mitzvah that's roi, lekiyum mitzvah of b'shleimus. Okay, fine. But barring that chiddush, putting that on the side, I would have said, if all things are equal, ideally, you know, get yourself a ner doluk situation and exclude these shmonim, because you have another option. But if you have no other option, then at least gain or achieve maisad luck. Oh. Now, if my thesis would be correct, that there's a fallback position in a case where you don't have the option of ner doluk, because the only shemen you could have access to is this inferior quality shemen, so at least get a maisad loka. What question should you be asking me now? Just a halacha question. I'm not talking about a kasha, just a question.
Of what?
No, I'm asking, what question should you ask me now? Again, I don't mean a kasha. I'm not asking for a love the kasha. What I mean to say is, if let's say I would codify the Shulchan Aruch, and I was to write the following. If all things are equal, get yourself Shemen, Haroi, Lat Loka, Shalchatzi Shal. If you don't have that opportunity, then light Shemen of an inferior quality, which is not going to give you Ner Doluk, but Chach, it'll give you Maisad Loka. So what should be the next question that if I was writing the Shulchan Aruch? Excellent, the Bracha. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe Ner Chanukah is a package deal. What do I mean by a package deal? You can't break it down into two parts. There's no such thing as l'chatchil and b'dievin in Ner Chanukah. Why? Because we need a bracha. And a bracha has to be on the definition, shall we call it the kishkes of Ner Chanukah. The kishkes of Ner Chanukah, according to this man, the Omer of Huna, is Ner Doluk. Correct? So if it's Ner Doluk, then the bracha itself was established on the creation of a Ner Doluk. So comes on Berzon, and he says, wait a minute, but he doesn't have the option of a Ner Doluk. So as a fallback position, let him at least obtain what? Maisad Loka. So the answer is, on the guard of the garnish. Why? Because it's a package deal. You have to have a bracha. Again, I don't know why. I have no clue why. But maybe the way Chazal instituted Ner Chanukah, it has to have an accompanying bracha. And if it has to have an accompanying bracha, you can't give me a fallback position where the bracha is going to be omitted because all you have is a Maisad Loka. Again, you could always ask me, well, maybe they could have established a bracha on a Maisad Loka, but now a holy kavsa Zakuk Lo. And if kavsa Zakuk Lo, then the mitzvah is to have an Er Dolak. You might gain something, and it would be meaningful to have a Maisad Loka, but that's not the real mitzvah. It's not the Ikar mitzvah. It's not the Kishkas of the mitzvah. And therefore, we cannot justify a bracha on something that is so minimal in terms of its Kiyum mitzvah. It's a Maisad Gabra, but there's no Cheft of an Er Doluk. And if there's no bracha, then it's garnish vert. It's not worth a dime. But just as a footnote, what would be my Rebbe would throw me out of shiur for saying that if there's no bracha, there's no Ner Chanukah, right? So, but what would be the inkling, perhaps, of an idea that Ner Chanukah needs a bracha as opposed to other mitzvahs? I don't mind shaking a lulav without a bracha. We have a principle called Ein HaBracha Ma'keves Es HaMitzvah. You can fulfill, again, this is not the ideal situation, but you can fulfill a mitzvah without a bracha. But not so in the case of Ner Chanukah. Why? I agree to you that it's a drabon, but I don't see why that should be relevant. If I care, the Gemara here on Daf Chaf Gimel, one of the most famous sugyas in Shas, is why do you make a bracha on Ner Chanukah? It's only drabonon. Heichen Tzivonim. So I would think that if I was comparing Doraisis to the drabonons, in what context would the bracha be even more significant? In Doraisa, in the abundance, the Gemara shies away, and the Gemara really doesn't stand for Chalali institution of a bracha. So that's not going to help me much if I want to establish that Ner Chanukah really, really needs a bracha. Why would it need a bracha?
Because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Lifer Sumeinis, right? And the establishment of this candle as a candle of a person needs a bracha to define.
So how is it different than Mikra Megillah, for example? If somebody were to tell me that Mikra Megillah without a bracha is meaningless, I would throw out a shiur for that. Why?
Because the story is in the grave.
Exactly. The heft of the mitzvah is Pirsa Manetz. But not so in the case of Ner Chanukah. In Ner Chanukah, you're just lighting a candle.
One more candle.
The Gemara actually is going to have a whole discussion about Dilma, Yomar, that maybe the Roah, the person who sees the Ner, is going to say, Litzarko ko Madlik. So that's why the Gemara says you're not allowed to hold on to the Ner Chanukah. You have to put it down. Do you remember this? This is a sugya later on, because if you're holding on to the Ner Chanukah, what does it look like? It looks like Bedikas Chametz. You know what I'm saying? It looks like you're using the Ner for your own purposes. So we have a serious problem with Ner Chanukah. I'm not sure how to solve it, but maybe the bracha is one possible solution. I don't know. And the problem that we have to face is, how do we transform this Ner into a Ner Mitzvah? Because Lechora, Litzarko Komechavet. And if you hold Mutal Ishtavish Leora, which is Rav Huna's opinion, says Rav, and that's why there's a gzera of Shemiyata and Anisa Shvus on Shabbos of Chanukah. The problem becomes that much more exacerbated, if I got that right. Yeah. Right? Why? Because he's allowed to benefit from the Nair. My gosh. You know, they didn't have electricity in those days. So you want to light up the room. You light a Ner Chanukah, and you're enjoying that Ner Chanukah. You're counting your mos, you know, you're reading books. I don't know what you're doing to the Ner Chanukah, right? So that's a problem. How do you set up the Ner as a Ner Chanukah? And as Yechiel says very well, for Pirsum Anes purposes, but even if I don't get into Pirsum Anes, leave out Pirsum Anes for the time being, it's got to be a Ner Chanukah.
That's why you need a Ner double.
Well, again, Ner Doluk seems to be more related to what Yechiel was pointing out about Pirsum Anes. You know, that it should last for a certain period of time, you know, till the people who walk up and down the street will see it and they'll praise God for the miracle. But I wasn't talking about that so much, Phil. I'm talking about just to set up a Ner as a Ner Chanukah. You want to tell me that this Ner is different than any other Ner?
Yeah.
So what does that? What generates that? You know, the Nair is physically the same identical Nair as the Nair that I lit here and there for the purposes of illumination, for benefit, and Sarka. So I was suggesting that maybe the bracha would serve that function. Do you follow me? So again, getting back to the Pnei Yeshua is going to make a radical breakthrough here. And the Pnei Yeshua is going to help me in what I thought could be the intuitive halacha here, that maybe if you don't have Ner Doluk, because Kovza Zachakla, but at least you can still achieve the Kiyum of Maisad. So what element does the Pnei Yeshua inject into this whole equation? So let's open up the Pnei Yeshua. Okay, then, so I made X number of copies, and if you don't have one, please look on with somebody else, if you don't mind.
You said this, dismiss it, but you keep talking about Hanukkah candles, just the light. My understanding of Hanukkah candles is the mitzvah is to make sure they're in the street, to be publicized in the miracle of the Shem. So you're doing an action, not just seeing light.
Excellent point. Where am I lighting the Ner Hanukkah? We haven't even discussed that. So Shlomo here is assuming I'm lighting it outside my house, which is a very strange place to illuminate my house if it's outside my house. But we're going to soon see, believe it or not, that you don't have to light Ner Chanukah outside your house. But again, there's a lot of sugyas here that we didn't do yet because we just started today. All right. So the Pnei Yehoshua introduces a new element. The Kashali, you see it on the third line. Tenach Kulu Shmanim Upsilos Dasire B'Shavas Mishum Shema Yat. I understand very well that Rav Huna wants to exclude all these Shmanim, inferior in quality, because just like in Shabbos we have an issue of Shema Yat, in Chanukah we have sort of a parallel issue of Kovsa Zakukla. In other words, as far as the quality, the inferior quality of this oil, that generates two repercussions in halacha. Number one is a shvus of Shabbos because of Shema Yata. And number two, a psul in Ner Chanukah because Kovsa Zakukla, it's not going to be a Ner Dolk. In the language of the Pnei Yeshua, Lefisha Ein Dolkim Yofeh, these oils will not last very long. Is Shaykh Li Osron B'Chanukah B'Chol. We have to exclude them on Chanukah, the entire balance of Chanukah. Came on to Sfirle because Rav Huna holds Kovsa Zokukla. All that makes sense. What doesn't make any sense? Ella B'Shemen Sreifa. Okay, so Shemen Sreifa is a case of what's called Truma Tmeya, right? So your mafresh Truma, and then a sheretz fell on the Truma. The Truma therefore contracts Truma. And the Torah requires burning the Shemen. Now, what that means is two things. Number one, burn the Shemen because you don't want anyone to use this Shemen, because Shemen shall Truma becomes usur even, if it's Nitma, it becomes usur even for a Kohen. So one way of getting rid of it, to make sure that nobody shaloya takola, is to burn it. But it's more than that. It's a separate mitzvah of Sreifa. Now, if we were learning the sugi of Shemen Sreifa, we would figure out that as a result of this mitzvah of burning Shemen Tmeya, of Truma Tmeya, you're allowed to benefit from this fire, because the fire is a fire that was generated by the Kiyum HaMitzvah, as you fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, but that's not relevant to us now. Okay, now, what kind of oil, in terms of superior or inferior quality, are we talking about when we talk about Shemen Sreifa?
Good
oil. It's of the finest quality. We're not talking about an inferior quality oil. Nevertheless, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to use Shemen Sreifa for the mitzvah adlaka, even though, again, you're allowed to benefit from this fire. But there's a gzera of Shema Yat. Why is the Shema Yat if it's a superior quality oil? So the Gemara says, because of the mitzvah of Sreifa, that when a person is involved in the fulfillment of the mitzvah, he might inadvertently get carried away with himself. And if he sees that the mitzvah is not being fulfilled properly, he's going to tilt this receptacle in such a way that the oil comes down, and it'll violate mavir, meleches mavir. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, but in the case of Chanukah, that's totally irrelevant. I'm talking about during the week. So it's the week of Chanukah. Shemen Sreifa now is superior quality oil. On Shabbos, you would have a problem of Shemayata because of the mitzvah of Sreifa Shemin Truma Tmea. Of Sreifa. But what bearing does it have to Hanukkah? So what are you afraid of? You're afraid of Shemayata. Shemayata is not at all relevant to Hanukkah because Hanukkah is during the week. You want to tell me that this Shemen Sreifa is Pasul Chanukah on Leil Shabbos? Okay, that's a Shabbos question. That's because of Shema Yata. Again, it's not the Shema Yata in the classical sense because of the inferior quality. Here you have a superior quality. But it's a Shema Yata because of the mitzvah of Shemen Sreifa. But what bearing does that have on the balance of the days of Chanukah? Meaning, the Pnei Yeshua understood the following. Here's the underlying premise of the Pnei Yeshua. Rav Huna made a general statement without any exceptions. And he said that all the Shmonim that are possible on Shabbos are excluded on Chanukah, Bein b'Shabbos, Bein b'Chol. Now when he says all the Shmonim, then Mistimas Advarim, you know, because he didn't qualify with any exception, he's including even what? Shemit Sreifa. Because Shemit Sreifa, if it's an inferior quality, is possible on Shabbos. In fact, on Shabbos, even if it's a superior quality, you can't use it for the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. Not because of the classical Shema Yanta, if it's a superior quality, but because, as we said before, of the mitzvah of Havvara, which would lead him to Shema Yanta. And if Rav Huna made this all-inclusive statement, recognizing absolutely no exception, that all these Shmonim that apostle on Shabbos, apostle on Chanukah, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol, says the Pnei Yeshua, that includes Shemit Sreifa. Why should it include Shemit Sreifa? The only issue of Shemit Sreifa is Shemayata. The issue of Kavsa Zakakla, Kavsa Ein Zakakla is totally irrelevant to Shemit Sreifa. Because what kind of quality do we have? We have a superior quality. Now again, if not for the Pnei Yeshua, I would have said, you know what? Maybe Rav Huna didn't mean it, you know. he didn't have Shemit Sreifa on the top, on top of his list over here. Maybe what he meant was, this is what I saw in the Rashash. The Rashash once said, in general, you know, all the Shmonim are possible, but not every single case. You know, let's leave out Shemen Sreifa. But you know, the Pnei Yeshua Lishitaso is very compelled to the principles of Stimas Lashono, meaning if you don't qualify, it means just that it's not qualified. Osher,
in general, not try to do two mitzvahs with the same. Try to yotze two mitzvahs with one thing. Like to keep
our
mitzvah separate.
So you want to talk about chavilus. Oh, okay, let's think about that. That's excellent. So chavilos. I'll tell you what it is. Yeah, it's a little bit complicated, but chavilos wouldn't apply here. I'll tell you why. The mitzvah of Shemen Sreifa is Bir HaShemen. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is the Shalheves itself.
Unless you say Ma'aseh Hadlaka.
No, what I'm saying is, what's the Heftah Shal Mitzvah? The Heftah Shal Mitzvah in Ner Chanukah, it could be the Ma'aseh Mitzvah is Hadlaka, but the Heftah Shal Mitzvah is the Shal Heves. Creating a Shal Heves. The Shal Heves is the Heftah Shal Mitzvah. In the case of Shemen Sreifa, the Heftah Shal Mitzvah is the Shemen itself. You know, consuming the Shemen, that's the Mitzvah.
Shemen Sreifa is also Banah?
Shemen Sreifa is Mutar Banah, but only what's called hanoshel kiwi, meaning as the shemen is being consumed, you could cook your cholent over the shemen, over the flame. So the Pnei Yeshua had this kasha. Again, let's go over the premises of the Pnei Yeshua. The two premises of the Pnei Yeshua that led him to a kasha. Premise number one is that Rav Huna doesn't tolerate any exception to the rule, and he excludes all shmonim that are excluded on Shabbos for Chanukah, even during the week. And since there was no exception to the rule, therefore it includes even Shemen Sreifa. Premise number two is that Shemen Sreifa is only a problem of Shemayata, based on the mitzvah birur of burning Shemen Sreifa. But there's no issue of Kavsa Zakakla. Why? Because since it's a superior quality, Yesh Laniach, that it will burn, baby, burn, right? Now, based on these two premises, he comes up with a pretty radical chiddush, which I'm very excited about. He says, let's just read his question again. He says, "B'shem in sreif delo mitzar ela mishum she mitzvah levaro v'chayshin in shem yate." The Gemara later on is going to establish that there's a chash shem yate. In kain ein shum tam lesser b'chanukah. Because Shema Yata is not a reason that applies to Chanukah during the weekdays of Chanukah. The only reason is Kavsa Zakakla, but Kavsa Zakakla is not an issue with regard to Shem and Sreif insofar as its superior quality. Oh. Miu, Biushalmi, Besof Mesechta Trumos. Okay, the Bikiyas is very impressive here. He has a Yushalmi at the end of Mesechta Trumos. Okay, that means that the Pnei Yeshua didn't learn Mishnayis Trumas with Kahati, you know. You know, which you probably could finish in about a week. He learned Trumas in Yushalmi, which would probably take us approximately 2 years. You know, just to learn Yushalmi and Trumas. Okay. So Isa Lehej, what does it say in the Yushalmi? And here you'll flip the page. Demadlikin b'shemen sreifa b'chanak. So that seems to indicate that although the Bavli makes an all-inclusive statement that anything that's possible in Shabbos is an oil that's possible in Chanukah, the Yushalmi accepts an exception to the rule. And that is Chutz Mishemen Sreifa. The Shemen Sreifa is kosher for Chanukah even though it's possible on Shabbos. It's an Isur of Shema Yata on Shabbos, but Shema Yata doesn't apply to Chanukah during the week. And it's a superior quality oil. That's the initial statement of the Yushalmi El Damasik Shom, but the Yushalmi adds another qualification and says the following: Im ein lo shemen shel chulin, madlik b'shemen sreifa. Rabosai, this is a major precedent. I told you at the outset that the Gemara here, at least in the Bavli, assumes it's adagar adagarnished. It's either kosher or apostle. There's no such thing as lechatchila, an ideal situation, and a fallback situation if you cannot achieve the ideal. It's black versus white. Now we have a precedent that there's something called the gray mass area in the middle. How do I see that in the Yerushalmi? Because Yerushalmi says the following. I'm going to rewrite the Yerushalmi just for pedagogic purposes. Im yeshlo shemen shelchulin yadlik b'shemen shelchulin. V'im elo shemen shalchulin, madlik b'shemen sreifa. That whether shemen sreifa could be utilized for the mitzvah of Chanukah depends. It's conditional. If you have another option, if you can fulfill the ideal, then that's exactly what you have to do. You have to take shemen shalchulin. Again, why that's ideal, we don't know. But the Yushalmi postulates there's such a thing called the ideal. The ideal we get shemen shalchulin. I don't have any shemen shalchul. The only shemen I have here is shemen sreifa. And even if Elisha Novi would do a nes, I would still end up with shemen sreifa. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. What's the status of shemen nes? You know, does it have the same status as the original? Is it a cloning operation? So all I have is shemen sreifa shel truma tmeya. Yushalmi says that's what you're going to use. By the way, again, what question should we raise on the Yushalmi? Again, not a kasha, just a question. La'alocha. Let's say if I have no shemen shel chulin and I'm lighting with shemen shel truma, shel shemen sreifa, what question should I ask? Do I recite? Do I recite a bracha? Now again, once the Yushalmi has crossed this boundary line and it recognizes the possibility of an ideal and a backsliding, you know, shall I say, fallback position, at that point I want to ask, is the fallback position enough to generate a bruch? I think the Pnei Yoshua is assuming, he doesn't spell this out for us, that there would be a bruch in such a case.
I'm asking why there wouldn't. You're still going to be dolek. You're still going to be a maisad.
Correct. It's both a maisad loka and a ner dolek. But for some reason, which we, again, Dr. Joel, we don't know the answer to this question yet. Maybe you do. I don't. Why does the Yushalmi avoid shemen sreifa? L'chatchila. It's only in a fallback position. I mean, Usher, of course, is going to say chavilus chavilus. But if let's say assume there's no chavilus chavilus here.
And there's no bracha on when you destroy things, right? In that sense, right?
I didn't mean a bracha. You're asking a bracha on shemen sreifa. I don't know. That's an interesting question. But I was asking on the hadlaka. You know, should there be a bracha on hadlaka in the case of shemen sreifa in the Yushal? Oh. So now we get to the Pnei Yoshua. Says the Pnei Yoshua, v'im kein mevuar, What have I derived from this Yerushalmi? The hecha sheyesh lo shar minim shar shmonim shel chulim also lahadik b'shem in sefer. That's not an option. He has to take advantage of the chulin, which is accessible. But hashta, oh. So now, we have the following breakdown. We have lechatchila, and lechatchila you have to take shemen shel chulin, but in the absence of shemen shel chulin, if that's not accessible, take shemen sreif. Oh. How does this impact on our sugya of Rav Huna? Let's go back and refresh our memories. We asked, according to Rav Huna, why shouldn't Shemen Sreifa be kosher for Ner Chanukah? After all, there's no issue of Shemayata during the Chol, and there's no issue likewise of Kofsa Zokakla because it's a superior quality. And the answer is Einachinami. The Yerushalmi would accept the possibility of being Yotze the Mitzvah, if need be, of Ner Chanukah with Shemen Sreifa. Again, only in a b'dievet situation. Why not lechatchila? We don't know. Hashta osi shapir deha dekol hanishmonim upsilos deosu Rav Huna. He's saying that when Rav Huna said that, he made a generic statement, all inclusive, without exception, that all shmonim that are excluded on Shabbos you're not allowed to use on Chanukah. What he meant to say was that hecha deyesh lo shemen acher, because he has shemen shel chulin. Came at the time of the day mishum the kavsa zakakla v'shema yifshak it appears Rashi. Okay, we'll get back to Rashi in a minute. In came milsa the pshiti the hecha she'en lo shemen acher the mutal lahadlik be'evil. Meaning, in the case of an inferior quality of oil, there says the Pnei Yoshua, although we want to avoid lighting with this because it's kavsa Zakakla, and this inferior quality oil is not going to last that long, but we're not sure it's going to go out. So here you have two choices, says the Pnei Yoshua. Here are your two options. You cannot light. Okay, let's start with the positive. You could light with inferior quality oils, and maybe it'll go out, or you cannot light at all. Which of the two options make more sense? The first option, at least Chach. Maybe you'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And not only that, even if it goes out, there is a possibility that he'll rekindle the light. Rashi says, Shema Yifsha, but maybe he won't be careful about it, and he won't rekindle the light, but maybe he will. So you have a double suffix in a sense. First of all, I don't even know for sure it's going to go out, even if it's inferior quality. And secondly, even if it does go out, maybe he'll rekindle the light. And your other option is not to light at all. Ah, in the other option, since all you have access to are these inferior quality oils, the Yerushalmi, for one, would advocate that you light with the inferior quality oil. In the language of the Pnei Yeshua, he says, "Lo yehei sveiko chomer mivadai." If you don't encourage him to light, you're in a vadai situation. For sure, he forfeits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah because he didn't light. If on the other hand, he lights these inferior quality oils, then at least there's a suffix, maybe he'll be yotze the mitzvah. Hey, I'm not sure exactly whether you make a bracha on it again, just to, you know, suffix brachas lahakel, but maybe there's a sfex maker, so maybe he could make a bracha, you know, like the case where he left out a day of Sfiris Omer, if you have a sfex maker, right? Oh. And then he's going to ask another kashi here on Rav Chisda. He says, Rav Chisda, they say that, and others say that Madlikim Bahem Bechol Mishum Dekavsa Ein Zakakla in Kain Tikshay Shemen Sreifa. In that case, then Shemen Sreifa should certainly be no problem. So just to summarize, Rav Bose, it comes out, and this is what I'm so excited about, that the Pnei Yoshua, based on the sugi of Shemen Sreifa with Yerushalmi, comes to the conclusion that in the case of inferior quality oils, although Rav Huna advocates that you take a superior quality oil, but if all that you have in your bank account is this inferior quality of oil, then light it. And why is that? Because lo tehei sveiko chomer mivadai. In other words, why should you avoid lighting this? You may get a kiyum of mitzvah. That's better. And that's better than just omitting the tadlaka. So both say what we want to take from this Pnei Yoshua, put it in our pockets, and carry through our learning Mitzvah Hashem of the Sugya Chanukah, is that even if I hold Kavsa Zakaklo, which is Rav Huna's opinion, it doesn't mean that these inferior quality oils are absolutely possible. They're possible chatchila in a situation where you have another option. But if you have no other option, the only question that we have left unresolved is why the Yerushalmi is hesitant, inhibited about using Shemen Sreifa for Chanukah. And maybe the answer is that since Shemen Sreifa has a mitzvah element, we're worried about Shemiyata. So if we're going to tell, we're going to have to tell him the following, that during the weekday, he could use Shemen Sreifa, and he doesn't have to be inhibited and avoid it. But on Shabbos, he's not allowed to use it because of Shemiyata. And maybe that situation we would like to avoid. Meaning, Rav Huna's perspective is that we want to equate Shabbos and Chol in the case of Chanukah. So therefore, we're going to exclude at least l'chatchila all shmonim that are possible. Ah, but wait a second. What happens on Shabbos? On Shabbos, we're not going to let him use it. So my theory doesn't work out. I was trying to think that we don't want to let him light. Correct. L'chatchila. Oh, so it does work out. Sorry, I just the mathematics. So l'chatchila, we're going to avoid those shmonim during the week of Chanukah, of Chol, that would be absolutely excluded on Shabbos. B'dieved, if let's say all he has access to are shmonim, which would be excluded on Shabbos, we're going to allow him to light it during the week. And that has two nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is the case of inferior shmonim, which, based on this Yerushalmi, the Pnei Yeshua advocates you should light if you have no access to anything else. L'chatchila, we don't want to do that because these shmonim would be excluded on the Shabbos of Chanukah. And another nafkamina is going to be in the case of Shemen Sreifa, where since on Shabbos we're not going to allow you to use Shemen Sreifa because of Shemen Yatem, because of the mitzvah of Havaras of Sreifa Shemen Sreifa, therefore during the week we would want you to avoid it. But that which is usher during the week only because of Shabbos, that's al chatchila halacha, and in the absence of any other option, we'll allow you to be mine. Okay. Now I'd like you to fast forward to the bottom right, Amar Rava. So let's read Rava in the Gemara. Amar Rava is the second line up before the end of Chaf Aleph. My time at the Rav Huna, Kasavar Kavsa Zakikla Umutar Lishtamesh Liora. Okay, so what is Kavsa Zakikla? The candle went out. What does Zakikla mean? He has to rekindle it. Now he has an inferior quality oil, and there's a very strong possibility that it's going to go out. We're afraid that what?
He won't do it.
Why won't he do it?
He's not there.
Okay. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zakukla, it's about six lines up from the bottom. One, two, three, four, five lines up from the bottom of the page. Zakukla litakna. Whoa. What does litakna mean? Right, it's a takeno ta. It's a mapikeno.
It's a little keep burning.
So is it out or is it not out? I told you that Kofsa Zakukla means it went out and he has to rekindle it, but maybe he went out to work, he's not there. Rashi's not talking about that. Rashi's talking about a candle that's still what?
Still lit.
It's hanging on for dear life.
And what's the pair of the word Kofsa?
So Rashi apparently has a new shot in Kofsa. So let's get back to that in just a minute, Yechiel, because it's an excellent question. And the one who's going to address this question is the Beis HaLevi. But I just want to finish up with the Pnei Yoshua. That's my first obligation. Okay. So what's going on now? You're talking about a candle that was lit with inferior oil, and it's flickering, if I could use that word. Like the Israelis would call it mahathev, if you're familiar with that word. So now, he has to be metaking it. Right? Okay. What are the chances that he will be metaking it, and what are the chances that he will not be mitaken? That's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking for an answer to that question. What I mean to say is, did this guy light Ner Chanukah or not? He lit Ner Chanukah. Kofsa Zokukla. Now, he's got to be mitaken it, Rashi says. We'll see exactly what that means in the Beis HaLevi, but he has to make sure it's going to continue lit. Because the Beis HaLevi is not sure if once it goes out, he can still salvage the mitzvah by lighting it again. So in any event, what would you say about this Jew? Here's this Yid in front of me. He lit Ner Chanukah. He's not a poshea.
Yet.
Yeah.
Well, Chol you're talking about.
Chol. Let's talk about Chol. Shabbos is going to be a problem because he doesn't have an option of rekindling it or even fixing it for that. But during the week, we're telling you, don't use these inferior oils because, you know what, it's going to start wavering and flickering and he has to fix it. And what? What's next? We're afraid that what? What do you say, Sammy? I can't hear you.
It won't be there.
No, Rashi's not learning that. I'll prove it to you in just a minute. He's there. He's right there. He's looking at the candle. I'll prove it to you from Rashi in a minute. Yeah? So what are we afraid of? If he's the man who's looking at the candle, he's a good Jew, obviously he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So what's he going to do? At least if he called up his local Orthodox rabbi, what his rabbi would say? Fix it up! Fix it up! Add oil, add this, tilt it this way, tilt it that way, it's during the week. So look at Rashi. Rashi says something unbelievable. Rashi says, Hilkof tzorach lechatchil asosa yofa, Dilma, what we're afraid of, is Pasha. Pasha, what does the word Pasha mean?
On purpose,
negligence, deliberate. Says the Pnei Yoshua Lechora, if you see on the bottom right, Sfas Yeser He. You know, this is what you call a Mosif Goreh. Rashi added something here in Pshia, which is only going to mess us all up. Did it Pshitus? If not for Rashi, Havi Lel Lemeimai, Rashi should have said Lefarish, Tfei, on the top left, the Chayshinan Shema Yishkach Mimitaken. Right, we have two categories of Avaryanim. One is called Shogeg, and one is called Mazin. Right, so Poshef fits under Mazin. Shichecha is already a Shogeg, a person forgets. Or maybe like we said before, he's going to go out. There are many different possible scenarios to explain why he didn't fix up the Nair when he should have done so without indicating that the man is a poshea. Well, now the Pnei Yoshua is very sharp. Not only in his question, but the way he takes a question and he runs with the ball, so to speak. He's going to be machadish, unbelievable chidushim here, based on this reading of Rashi. What does Rashi mean by Shema Yifsha? Okay, now.
Does it have to do with the way he lit it in the first place? That I mean, Rashi says,
I see what you're saying.
Lasso Yafer.
And he didn't do it that way. Words, so maybe he's not such a gemal mitzadik.
A valid maaseh hadlakah to begin with.
Right. Maybe since he was laid back and he lit it in an inferior way, then it's a dilma pasha. Yeah. Okay, excellent. So there are the farshim who will interpret Rashi like that. But that's not the Pnei Yoshua. But
this is his only oil. He doesn't have yafet. That's why he did it. It's not poshea.
Ah. Well, again, keep in mind that Pnei Yeshua says that based on the Yushalmi. He's not willing to say that in the Bavli. So Rashi's not committed to that view. But I just want to show you, Rabos, I was so nispol from this Pnei Yeshua that he went so far with this diuk in Rashi. He says the following. This Rashi is coming to answer a gevaldig kash of Tosus. Tosus says that he doesn't understand Rava at all. Rava, embellishing Rav Huna, says mutal ishtamesh li'ora. So Tosus asks the following question: how does Rava know What audacity on Rav's part to say that according to Rav Huna, mutal ishtamish liora. Rav Huna was telling you nothing more than the fact that this inferior quality oil is possible in lechanukah. Why is it possible in lechanukah? Because kovsa zogukla. He needs an air dulk and he won't achieve air dulk, correct? So then, if it's possible for Nechanik, it's possible both on the weekday and Friday evening as well. Who told Rava that Rav Huna is based on Mutal Ishtamish Liora? It has nothing to do with Mutal Ishtamish Liora. Rava is just simply making a statement, sweeping all days of Chanukah, all nights of Chanukah, that these Shvarim are possible because Kopsa Zakukla. And Tosis is going to do somersaults in the air to try to justify Rava's conclusion based on a diuk in Rav Huna. Rava asked himself, why did Rav Huna have to say Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol? He just could have told me that it's possible for Chanukah, and I would understand that it's possible on Shabbos as well. He added a new finish on Shabbos because he wanted to tell you Mutal Ishtamish Liora, and there's another element of the equation, namely Shemayata and the violation of the Shavuos of Shabbos. Don't think that also Ishtamish Liora and therefore Ner Chanukah is outside the purview of that. But Rashi was bothered by the same question and he came up with a whole new answer. Look at the brilliance of the Pnei Yoshua. I'm always excited about this Pnei Yoshua. He says the following. Vanira Bazeh, you have at the top left column. The Rashi Bo Liyashiv Kushas HaTosvis Dibra Maskel Umutar. Okay, you can take a look at the bottom. This is one of those long tosafim that you get the wrong impression when you look at it. Oh, it's an easy one. There are only four lines in this tosafim. Yeah, but you didn't realize that the printer ran out of space, so the most of the tosafim is on a base. But he says, I'm reading tosafim now. This Savar of Huna de Mutal Ishtamish Liora. Dilma, maybe also Ishtamish Liora. But Had the Omer, Ema, Lika Bishabis, Mishud de Savar Kovsa Zokakla. It's nothing to do with Shabbos. Okay. And Tosis is going to spend about how many lines? The 20 lines to try to answer this question? No, 15 lines. Okay. Rashi has a different answer. He says the following. Okay, we'll just quickly read through the Kasha Tosis as the Pnei Yoshua has it. The Minole. The time of the Rav Huna b'Shabbos mishum de mutal ishtamish liora dilma b'Shabbos nami mishum de kofsa zakakla v'kol shkein diosu tfei came into b'Shabbos im kofsa yef shal esake. He says that if these inferior quality oils are possible during the week, how much more so they're possible on Shabbos, because at least during the week we still have a suffix, as we saw before in the previous paragraph, that maybe he'll fulfill his obligation and he'll rekindle it if it goes out. But in the case of Shabbos, does he have the option of rekindling it if it goes out? Obviously not. You know, we're not going to violate Shabbos for the sake of Ner Chanukah, with all due respect. Oh. El al karchach dipshitale le talmuda delikuli alma im kofsa bionis the yishkach milatakein leslan ba kevan distama lo shchiach sheyichbe da b'shabes di alma nami lo asrinen le mishum haichashasha de shema yichabe v'yispatel shalom bayis el mishum shema yata l'fizeh al karchach the ikar taima de Rav Huna the osa b'chol hayni mishum shema yifsha milasakein. Mishum di osi lemite. Okay, we'll get to osi lemite in just a minute. Rashi understood that there's only one way of explaining Rav Huna of kavsa zakakla, and that is sheva yifsha. There's going to be a pshia over here. Why? Because he says if we're not dealing with pshia, then in the case of Shabbos, there's absolutely no reason why we should exclude these inferior quality oils. Because what's going to happen when Shabbos comes in, if the oil is extinguished?
He can't light it anyway.
He doesn't have the option of lighting it. If he doesn't have the option of lighting it, then he's in a situation of what we would call ones, or shichacha. And therefore, what's the problem on Shabbos? There should be no problem at all on Shabbos. So it's very interesting. Rashi is answering Tosa's kasha by asking another kasha. You know, sometimes if you add a second kasha to the first kasha, it helps you answer both kashas. The second kasha that Rashi's asking is, why should these shmonim be excluded on Shabbos? During the week, I can understand you're telling me maybe he'll make a mistake, or he'll forget and he won't rekindle the light. In fact, the Pnei Yeshua offers the following possibility, that maybe he'll even say that Kovsa ain't Zokhikvah. He'll think mistakenly with his ignorance that Kovsa ain't Zokhikvah. In any event, I could certainly justify the possibility that he won't rekindle the light and he'll be somewhat remiss, albeit b'shogeg. Right? No, if that be the case, then what's the problem with using these oils on Friday night of Chanukah? When we get to Friday night of Chanukah, you can't tell me Dilma Shachach, and maybe he's remiss because he didn't rekindle the lamp because Kofsa Zokhikla, but he didn't live up to the standards and the requirements of Kofsa Zokhikla. That doesn't apply on Shabbos at all. Why?
You can't light.
Exactly. So since he can't light on Shabbos, then there's no way that you could possibly postulate that he's remiss under the law of Kofsa Zokhikla, because what do you mean Zokhikla? There's no Zokhikla on Shabbos. Therefore, says the Pnei Yehoshua, Rashi has the second problem, which is going to, at the same time, answer Tosis's problem. That the reason why we're going to exclude these shmonim, he says pshita le talmudu de kuliyama im kofsa bi ones v'yishkach miltakin leslan ba. There was never an issue about kofsa zakukla in the case of shichecha or ones, right? Because again, if that would be the case, then why would that problem arise or apply in the case of Leil Shabbos? Came into stoma lo shchiach sheyichpe. Tov Shabbos the alma nami lo asrin and lay mishum de ich hashosh de shem yechabe vizbatol shalom bayis el mishum shem yata. The whole reason why we're saying it's also on Shabbos is because of shem yata. Well, if there's a shem yata, then there's no possibility of his killing. Lefi zel kocha te ikar taimad Rav Huna di oser b'chol hainu mishum shem yifshav milutake mishum di osi lemite v'savar di kof saying zokaklo ben is zokaklo. Now, he's going to deliberately what's the word I want to use here? Omit rekindling the light, and that's called yifsha, because he's under the impression that ein zokaklo. V'im came lo shayach haytaim of the b'shabbos kevan di efshal hadlik im kainim yichbe bi ones is ones who kevan di lo shchiach sheyichbe lekel meches ba el al kochet yisur the shabbos mishum de mutal ishtamish liore kain nirul. So he's saying the following, that Rashi was forced to introduce the issue of Shema Yifsha. Why? Because if you're going to just tell me Shema Yishkach, then you're in a situation of ones, and why should the Chachamim institute a psul in the Shmonim based on ones? So Rashi had a problem. So Rashi therefore was forced to say Shema Yifsha. No, if it's Shema Yifsha, now Rashi has another problem. That if it's Shema Yifsha, that problem should not exist on Shabbos, and yet Rav Huna prohibited and disqualified the Shmonim on Shabbos as well. Why did he do so? The answer can only be Shema Yata. So again, what we're doing here is we're operating in Hilchas Chanukah with Kofsa Zokhikla, and we're analyzing Kofsa Zokhikla from two possible vantage points. One is Shema Yishkach, and it'll be an Anus, and the other is Shema Yifsha. And then we're analyzing the issue of the Shmonim on Shabbos and why Rav Huna would exclude them. So let's go through all the possibilities. Possibility number one is to say that the reason why Rav Huna is worried about these Shmonim is because of Shema Yishkach. The Pnei Yeshua rejects that because he says that can't be so, because if it's Shema Yishkach, he's in the category of what? Of an Onus. So that he's not going to deliberately set up a situation in which the candle is going to go out. He's just going to forget about it. And in that case, why? First of all, you don't even know if it's going to go out. And even if it does go out, he's not guilty of not rekindling the candle, he would have all eagerness and intention to rekindle the candle, but it was yishkach, it was shichacha. So therefore the Pnei Yeshua says, what are you going to do? You're going to apostle, you're going to disqualify the Ishmanim because of an onus situation? That's impossible. So now we go to possibility number two. We're worried about Pshia. We're worried about his deliberately being careless about rekindling the light. The Pnei Yeshua gives an explanation, a justification for why that situation could arise. He says because he's thinking, Ein Zakukla. So therefore he makes a deliberate decision, I'm not going to rekindle the light. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that doesn't cut the mustard either. Why? Because if that be the case, when we get to Shabbos of Chanukah, where there is no possibility, then by definition, he's in a situation of onus. So therefore, Rashi said Sheva Yifsha, and now the Gemara has a serious problem. If it's Sheva Yifsha, then why is it also on Shabbos? Why are these Shmonim possible on Shabbos? And the answer could only be because of Shema Yata. Well, why is there Shema Yata if also Lishtamish Liora? The answer is, says Rabbah, because Rav Huna holds Mutal Lishtamish Liora. So there's a logical, compelling reason for Rabbah's conclusion that Rav Huna is standing on the shoulders of the principle called Mutal Lishtamish Liora. And the Gzeira here is Shema Yata. Why? Because since we're dealing with Shema Yifsha, the only reason why we exclude and disqualify the Shmonim is because of Pshia. That couldn't possibly apply to Shabbos, because in Shabbos you don't even have an option of rekindling it, so you can't call him a Poshea. And therefore the only reason that Rav Huna excluded these Shmonim on Shabbos must be because Mutal L'shtamish Liora, and therefore there's a problem of Shema.
Yeah.
Shema Yata. Okay. Now,
how about intentionally putting yourself in a situation where it's likely to go out on Shabbos? I'm not going to allow you to do that. And that's why I'm not.
And that wouldn't be.
But again, if he's claiming, well, I don't know if it's going to go out, yeah, right? It's not so common that it'll go out. And even if it does go out, I'll rekindle it. But I may have forgotten to rekindle it. That doesn't seem, in the Pnei Yeshua's frame of reference, to justify excluding these shmonim. So he says the following. He says, "Al karcha pshitale l'talmuda delekuli alma im kofsa bi'ones v'yishkach milatakein leslan ba kema destoma lo shchiach sheyichbe." Right, Dabe Shabbos the Alma Nami Lo Asrina Lebi Had Shum Haich Hashosha Shema Yichbe. He's asking the following question. He says, "Would these oils that are inferior quality be kosher for Ner Shabbos?" The Gemara answers, "No, because of Shema Yata." Forget about Shema Yata. What do I need Shema Yata for? If the candle is not going to last, so what about Shalom Bayis? The answer is, it's Lo Shchiach that it should go out. If it's lo shchiach should go out, then what are you telling me? You're telling me that if it does go out, right, and it's lo shchiach, he's going to violate, or let's say non-fulfill, he'll be guilty of non-fulfillment to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. But why should we assume so? Because you're telling me maybe it'll go out, and maybe if it goes out, on that outside chance that it goes out, he'll forget to rekindle it? That's too far out. So the answer has to be that the time of Rav Huna is because of Sheva Yifsha Malataki, but that time can't apply to Shabbos, and therefore we must introduce the issue of Sheva Yata, and that's because Mutal Ishtamish Liyo. So we answer two questions. Number one, why Rashi had to add Dilma Pashava, and number two, how Rashi would deal with Tosis' question, how did Rav know that according to Rav Huna, Mutal Ishtamish Liyo? That is all on page what? Page Ayin Tes, correct? Now, if you take a look...
Page.
Oh, I'll tell you on page Peg. Okay. Very good. Now, if you take a look on page Ayin Tes, you'll see... I'm sorry. We started on page Pei, right? I mean, the last paragraph on page Pei. So let's continue on page Pei. You see, it says Tosfos, B'dibra Maschil, U'mutol Ishtamish Liora. So he says, "Kfar kasafti liyashiv kusha zu l'fishitas Rashi." We've already suggested an answer for Rashi. Vanira mizedu tosus lo nachtu lefarish kafirish Rashi. The time yishum shema yifsha, el yishum shema yishkach.
Shema yishkach, what?
That he might forget that he. That he in this situation he has to be metake in the Ner Chanukah. He might forget to do so.
It doesn't mean maybe he forgot at the outset to set it up in a proper way.
I don't know. It could be that also. You're right. That's another Shema Yishkach. There are many, many Shema Yishkachs here. And it's all included in this in the sheet of Tosis, because Tosis is operating with Shema Yishkach. Rashi is operating with Shema Yifsha. Okay. Now, what led Rashi to conclude Zokaklo Litakna? Okay. So before we answer that question, do you have a Ramban? I tried to photocopy a Ramban for you. And if you don't have one, I have one extra copy here, going once, going twice. Okay. So the first paragraph of the Ramban in the Sugya of Chanukah. Okay, in the book it's page Yutes. Okay, and it's a paragraph on the right side that starts with Hodam Rina. This is Mamish the Ramban's introduction to the Sugya of Chanukah. And he says the following. Kashali. Minole Hannes Ravan no. That according to Rav Huna, mutal shtamish liora dilma af b'shabbos emalika l'fijikov se zokeklo b'shabbos efsholi zokeklo. In other words, he's now introducing the kal v'chomer that we saw already in the Pnei Yoshua. If during the week you can't use these inferior quality oils on for Chanukah, how much more so on Shabbos? Because if you tell me on the weekday you have a problem of kovsa and he may or may not rekindle the light. How much more so on Shabbos, where he doesn't even have the possibility of rekindling the light? So how did Rava know to draw the conclusion of mutol shtamish liora? Says the Ramban, the ikala meimar the sfirle le talmuda kavon de b'shabbos. The Ramban seems to postulate that on the contrary, on Shabbos, we should allow him to use even inferior quality oil. Why? Because what are you going to tell me? It's going to go out and kovsa zokek law. The Ramban is not worried about Zokek law because on Shabbos there's no possibility of rekindling the light. In other words, the Ramban is shifting the emphasis from the original lighting to the Zokek law. And he's saying the following, that during the week we have a problem of Zokek law because we're not sure whether or not he'll fulfill his obligation of Zokek law. But on Shabbos, there's no problem of Zokek law because there cannot be an obligation of Zokek law. Is therefore, why did Rav Huna exclude these Shmonim on Shabbos of Chanukah? So let's read it again. The Ikal and Neymar, the language of the Ramban is always very crucial. He says, the Sfirle le Talmuda, cave under the Shabbos, e efshar li Zokek law. There's no possibility of Zokek law. Lo chayshinon umadlikin bechol hashmonin. The kavan she efsha shelo yichbu. He lit it, and it's possible that it won't go out. Afal pisha pa'omim kovim lo ichbas lo. We don't care about this problem at all. So it comes out that the Ramban is postulating that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on Shabbos of Chanukah with inferior quality oils. The Shabbos, I'll be with you in just a second. The Shabbos leman yomer kofsa zokek lo, dino shavah lechol leman yomer kofsa ein zokek lo. The Ramban presents the following equation, that the status of the inferior quality oils on Shabbos of Chanukah, according to this Ma'ariv, says Kofsa Zokek law, is exactly equivalent to the status of inferior quality oils during the week of Chanukah, during the weekdays of Chanukah, according to the Man Yom Kovsa, Ein Zaka Klal. Because basically, when it comes to Shabbos, by definition, the halach is Kovsa, Ein Zaka Klal. So now there's no difference between superior quality and inferior quality. Kishem Shebechol Buta Lahadik Bishmonim Alolu, because according to this Man Yom Kovsa, Ein Zaka Klal. We're going to see that Shitas Rav on Daf Chaf Aleph from the days. We haven't gotten to that yet. He says, Af b'Shabbos kein l'divrei hakol. Everybody agrees on Shabbos that Kovsa Ein Zaka Klal. The Ramban again is shifting all the emphasis on the Zaka Klal situation. Is he going to fulfill his Zaka Klal, his obligation to rekindle or not? On Shabbos there is no such obligation to rekindle. Is therefore Ein Machazrin Lahadlik b'Psilos u'shmonim acherim. He's not required to look for superior quality oils. Shabbos Shabbos L'divrei Kol Kovsa Ein Zakeh Klal. V'Ein Lach Ba Ela Mitzvah Sadlaka Vilvan. So then Rabosai, if according to the Ramban, everybody agrees that Kovsa Ein Zakeh Klal with regard to Shabbos, so why did Rav Huna say I can't use these inferior quality oils on Shabbos? I understand why he said so during the week, because he holds Kovsa Zakeh Klal. The Ramban is saying that on Shabbos everybody agrees Kovsa Ein Zaka Klal, so why can't he use these inferior oils on Shabbos? And what's the answer? Sheviyata. That's the only answer. Is Mamela, we have a teretz to kash to Tosus' kasha. Tosus was asking, how do we know? How did Rav know that Rav Huna is based on Mutal Shtamish Liora? Maybe it's possible because it's possible during the week. Says everybody, can't be possible during the week. I'm sorry. It can't be possible on Shabbos. Because during the week it's possible because of Kavsa Zaka Klal. But on Shabbos everybody agrees that what? Kavsa Ein Zaka Klal. So why do you pass all these oils? The answer could only be Shemayata. Is hence we must conclude that Mutal Shtamish Liora. Brilliant Chiddush of the Rambam.
I don't understand. How can they make a distinction between Shabbos and Chol in Zaka Klal? Because
it means like this. You could have said Zaka Klal applies even on Shabbos, but he's on him. You know, he can't fulfill Zaka Klal because obviously he can't light the candle. The Ramban is saying that there's no din of Zaka Klal at all on Shabbos. It's not that he's on us, his hands are tied. But you cannot impose upon a person on Shabbos an obligation to light the candles.
You don't impose it. It's a requirement for it to light. It's not like it then it's called a din of light.
Correct, but we can't, you know, he's lighting, he's
trying to make it work.
He's lighting at Shkia, right? So if he's lighting at Shkia, can you apply the principle of Zaka Klal?
No, but you can say that he wasn't the altar, so it would bother the life.
So if not for the Ramban, Sam is right, I would have gone back to the original Hadlaka, and I would have said a Hadlaka that doesn't lend itself to Zaka Klal, meaning the candle is flickering, you know, the oil is in film. What are you saying, Sam?
I'm saying that the guy will feel, I'm not Makayim the mitzvah. So I'm lighting it. I want to light it again. So not Zaka Klal. We don't tell him to light it.
Oh, you mean he'll violate Shabbos by lighting
that's,
the candle?
That's if it comes to Zaka Klal, that's why the Choshesh, he will light it up.
Look, I don't know, Sam. That's an interesting question. Are we afraid that he'll actually light the candles of Chanukah on Shabbos? I would never say such a thing. You're obviously, it's a free country. but
if you light it to read, but you won't light it to meet the kind of mitzvah because you know it's Shabbos.
No, again, light it to read is only if you hold Mutal Shtamish Liora. So then, as you're reading something, you'll forget. But to say that he's going to light the Ner Chanukah because the mitzvah.
Forgetting that it's just like you forget when you're mishtamish to be able to read. You forget and you say, hey, it's Hanukkah. You, all week I keep lighting it.
Okay, again, as I said before, it's a free country.
No, I'm not trying to disagree.
But let's just appreciate the Ramban first. You know, before we get, it's a machlokes between the Ramban and Sana. You know, let's just understand the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that there's no such thing as Kofsa Zaka Klal on Shabbos because we cannot impose an obligation if it's impossible to fulfill that obligation. So therefore, everybody would agree that all oils, every single oil, is kosher for Shabbos of Chanukah. Says the Ramban, then we're stuck. Why does Rav Huna disqualify these oils for Shabbos of Chanukah? It says, Bein v'chol bein v'Shabbos. The answer can only be because of the Shabbos of Shabbos of Shemayat.
Well, my question is, you can't make up another chiyuv that you're yotzah with on Shabbos. Either what is the basic? What is the most basic mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? It has to be that it's just hadlaka, because since just hadlaka is good enough to be yotzei on Shabbos, if it goes out.
Yeah.
Then it must be that that's the basic thing. You can't say, oh well, because of Shabbos, we'll pacify him by giving maybe some new halakha that just by halakha it's good. But during the week, the real mitzvah is that it has to keep burning. That can't be it. It must be that the.
But again, the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says that the problem with Shabbos is because of Shemayata. And therefore, since Mutal Ishtamish Yoro, we can understand and justify why Shemayata applies. The Gemara doesn't say that the reason why on Shabbos you have to exclude this oil is because of Kavsa Zakakla. Says the Ramban, the Gemara could not have possibly excluded these oils on Shabbos because of Kavsa Zakakla. There is no din of Kavsa Zakakla on Shabbos. And no one ever entertained the possibility of Kavsa Zakakla on Shabbos.
Why not?
Because how could you impose upon a person an obligation that's impossible by definition to fulfill within the halacha?
No, what I'm saying is backwards. Then we see from that the real obligation is not that it should continue to burn, but that it's just the halacha. The halacha itself is the...
Well, no, we're going now according to Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that all these oils are excluded during the week. Why are they excluded during the week, says Rava? Because Kofsa Zakakla. Correct? So we're holding out Kofsa Zakakla. Does Kofsa Zakakla apply on Shabbos? You and I might have said, well, maybe yes, but he's honest or something along that line. Says the Rabbi, no, Kofsa Zakakla doesn't apply on Shabbos. So then why are these oils excluded? And this is going to answer Tosis Kasha. The only possible explanation to justify why these oils are excluded on Shabbos is because of Shemayata. And therefore, hence, we must assume that Mutal Ishtamish Li'o. Now, we have 3 minutes. So let's see if in 3 minutes we can cover the Beis HaLevi. Do you have that? It should be on the last side that I gave you, which is the flip side of the Ramban. Kofsa Zakakla. You have it? It's in the middle of page Reish Chaf Beis. Yeah, that you don't have because I only made six copies.
Okay.
So he says the following. Kosav Rashi Zelosono Zakakla Litakna. Dikduk Loshin Rashi Tzorchin Ktsas. Lama Kosav Alo Mitakin. Havi Leila Meimar. Shalo Yachzor Ladlika. Why did Rashi say that we're afraid the candle will go out and he won't rekindle it? Why does Rashi say we're afraid he won't be metaken it? Why did Rashi use that language? Hanira. Listen to the Skiddush of the Beis HaLevi. Sfirle the Rashi, Div Yichbe Legamre, Leka Lemechash, Di Yifshabo. There's no justification in a person's mindset that if there's no candle lit because it extinguished, that he wouldn't rekindle it. You're talking about a poshea who's not going to light it. Why did he light it to begin with? Apparently he's a good Jew and he wants to fulfill the mitzvah. If it goes out, he'll certainly rekindle it. Is therefore Sfirle L'Rashi. Then what are we talking about? Where's the chash of these inferior oils? The Gamkisha Odo Dolek, in fact, right now, he's being Mekayim the Mitzvah because the light is still alive, barely so. Virak Kishekvar Hu Choshuch Veholech Vekaba, that's the process of it going out, has already begun, it's already getting dark. Shuv. Ein Mekayim Bo HaMitzvah. Okay, I don't know what the Beis HaLevi means here, but he says literally, if I translate it, that at this point, when the candle is on its way down, the mitzvah is already terminated. Di'oz, Ein Bo Shum Hidur, that's a little strange language, but Veheker LeMitzvah. He says nobody can see it, it's so weak of a candle, so it doesn't have a Heker LeMitzvah. I don't know what he means by Hidur. He says, it's as if it went out. Again, what was Yechiel's question from before? It says kavsa. The Rashi is saying, according to the Beis HaLevi, that it's not extinguished. So what's kavsa? He says, "Rav Huda Srile de Bekovel Gamrei Zokuk." If it goes out completely, then Zokuk Gambi Odo Chasher Zok Letakno. In other words, the Beis Halevi postulates an equation between the case of Chashuch, where it's darkening, and the case of Kavu, where it's extinguished. In both cases, he's obligated in the mitzvah. V'chayshin in diyifshabo. Why? The Kavan Shu Adayin Doleg, since it's still alive, Yisbar, he's going to come to the conclusion, he's a big lachman, he's going to say, Dayo v'kach. I can still be Makai in the mitzvah. The Ayla Kavah, the Issa Sham, I want to prove to you that the word Kava doesn't mean that it completely extinguished, but it's on its way down. He has a sugya daf mem dalid. This is like 20 blot from now. The isa sham mistapek min haner shekava. We're talking about the sugya of muktzah. We want to know whether he's allowed to use the oil after the ner what? Kava. Sounds like it went out. Because of Rashi, shekava veholech. Rashi adds another word here, holech, meaning it's on its way going out. Vishuv einbo mishum mechabe. At this point, he's not going to violate the isa mechabe. Hare the afagav de gemar nokat lashon kava. Mikomakom svirle le Rashi that pirish bekava is kava veholech. So let's just summarize. The Beis Halevi is saying that what compelled Rashi to say letakna. Because Rashi felt that if it was completely extinguished, then for sure he's not Peshat Nefesh going to walk away from the scene of the crime, he'll certainly rekindle it. But he mistakenly thinks that since it's still alive, albeit it's on its way down, it's a goses, he doesn't have any obligation to stand over the candle and make sure it doesn't go out. He thinks it's alive right now, present. Azokar Beikora, it has a Cheskes Chayim. It's alive and well. He's Mekayim the mitzvah. What this person doesn't know is that Al-Pi Din, if it's on its way down, it's Kavu V'Holech V'Chashuch, then it's considered Kavu. And I'll prove it to you, says the Beis Halevi, from a Rashi on Daf Mem Dalid, where there's no Isur of being Mechaba Ner that's on its way out. Because once it's on its way out, it's already considered Kavu. And that's where we'll stop for today. Okay then? So we covered the Bnei Yeshua and the Beis Halev together with the Ramban in the middle. And we're gradually getting our feet wet to see what are the reforms.
The assumption that if somebody be enlightened, that the timing starts anew, or did you keep going?
I laid out the
whole thing. Well, here's the question.
Assuming Cups is up,
when he rekindles it, who am I supposed to give this to?
I should check it. I was going to ask him to check it tomorrow.
Okay. When Cups is up, are we saying that he's continuing the original mitzvah, or is it a brand new mitzvah? So that's going to be another Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi wants to know, does he have to rekindle that same candle that's going out, or can he take another candle and replace it?
That would be the timing question.
Help me follow this, because it's a little bit complicated for me.
Sorry?
Okay. Tomorrow, basically, I know these